Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. In the midst of the coronavirus pandemic and its financial fallout, many Americans fear they simply can't afford to get sick, even if they have insurance. A survey by the pollster Gallup and nonprofit West Health found that Americans borrowed an estimated $88 billion in 2018 to pay for health care. In Maryland, a Gonzalez poll last fall found that one in six families has delayed medical care because of cost, and one in eight has medical debt they can't pay over the next 12 months. The Health Committee of the Maryland House plans to hear testimony about the problem this afternoon. The Senate committee has scheduled testimony for next week. I spoke about the issue in December with Marceline White, executive director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, a nonprofit focused on education and advocacy for consumer rights and financially vulnerable populations. I asked her about the scope of medical debt in Maryland.
Well, it's very bad. The good news is, compared to some of the other states, we're faring better, but about 19% of adults have unpaid medical bills in Maryland.
That's like one out of five people?
Yeah, exactly. To put that in some context, which is shocking, Maryland is the 12th lowest state in the country. So that number of one in five is better than many states. But what's important is that of those who can't pay their medical bills, the median debt is $498. So we're talking about people who, again, it bears out other conversations we've had about low-income families and working families struggling, but they don't have the money in their bank account to manage that bill.
But $500 doesn't strike me as a huge amount of money. I mean, I realize a lot of families can't come up with it.
Right.
But it should be a solvable problem in a state like Maryland.
Yes. Yes, especially when you think that Maryland is the wealthiest state in the United States. We should be able to solve this problem because we shouldn't have people who are destitute or desperate because they don't have $500 to pay their medical bill.
Who is most typically facing the burden of medical debt?
Well, you know, again, in Maryland, what we see is that it's predominantly low-income consumers. It cuts across geographic lines. It cuts across race and ethnicity. It cuts across sex. We see it primarily being low-income consumers because, again, if the median debt's $500, these are people who just don't have the wherewithal to come up with that. But we do see that there's a disparate impact. So we do see that African-Americans and Latinx families have a greater burden of debt in collection and a higher level of medical debt in general. And in part, that's because of structural racism and policies that have meant that when you look at life expectancy and health problems, there are higher issues of asthma, diabetes, and other problems in predominantly African-American communities because of policy decisions that have been made for the past 80 or so years, which limited access to healthy food, have limited access to, you know, lead-free homes and positive ventilation. So there are structural reasons for that, but we do see that Black and brown families in Maryland hold higher medical debt and have a harder time paying it off and are pursued more aggressively for that debt.
If someone gets their bill in the mail and they can't pay, what's the typical chain of events?
So if they get the bill and they can't pay, what is supposed to happen is that they can reach out to the hospital to set up a payment plan. Maryland, again, to try to resolve these problems, introduced charity rate care, and there is financial assistance, either free or reduced cost care available. So if they can call and see if they're eligible for that care. If they are not, they are supposed to be able to set up a payment plan. But when we've talked to consumers that we've helped and worked with our partner agencies and partner legal service providers, many people have said that instead they're just told that they're being sued. And sometimes they'll be offered a payment plan that's not based on their income. So the debt collector will simply say, you know, why don't you just pay us $400 a month? And the person may agree, thinking, you know, it's better than being sued, and may be able to pay it for a month or two, but then they fall short. Or they refuse to make a payment plan and they simply...
The hospital,
and the debt is sent to court and a judgment is rendered against the former patient.
And so once a judgment is rendered, what happens?
So then the person is supposed to pay the debt that they owe the hospital, as well as any attorney's fees, any additional charges and fees on top of that to the court and to pay off the bill. If they cannot pay, then the hospital may pursue collecting the debt either by garnishing the individual's wages or by putting a lien on their home or on their car or taking money out of their bank account to pay the hospital debt.
So it really affects someone's economic life.
Absolutely. It affects their economic life. If you have your wages garnished, that's money that's not going to meet your other basic needs. And, you know, right now in Maryland, they can take everything out of your bank account, except for, you know, if Social Security or protected money, but they can take everything else out. So you may also be left with no money in your account, which obviously is devastating for people. So it can be economically devastating. A number of people have attributed medical debt or hospital debt as the cause of their bankruptcy. And we're seeing that number go up. So it's bankrupting people. And it has health impacts as well. People often will then refuse to go back to the hospital. So not only is it affecting their economic life, it's also affecting their health. They won't continue to go seek care even if they need it because they have an unpaid bill or because they've already been pursued because of a medical debt.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Marceline White, head of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, about medical debt and the collection of that debt in Maryland. In February of 2020, the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, the AFL-CIO, and National Nurses United published a report on medical debt in Maryland. What were the main takeaways?
So the main takeaways were that in the past 9 years, Maryland hospitals filed 145,746 medical debt lawsuits. And the median amount that they were seeking was $944. In addition, about 33,000, a little bit more, of those who were sued had these wages and property garnishments filed against them. And about a little more than 3,000 of them ended in bankruptcy. So just, you know, to take a Baltimore example, if you look at those numbers, one in every 20 people living in Baltimore City have been sued for medical debt, about 30,000 people. And of those who've been sued, 3 in 10 will have their wages or property garnished. So what we're seeing is that this is having an impact on people across the state. We're seeing high collections, you know, in Western Maryland and the Eastern Shore. This is not relegated to one part of the state. And we're seeing that it's causing financial devastation and in the age of COVID-19, also real concerns about what that means for people seeking care and seeking treatment.
These are suits being filed by hospitals.
That is correct.
Which hospitals are filing the most suits?
So GBMC in Baltimore County is one of the top contenders for being most aggressive. Peninsula Hospital is the highest. Johns Hopkins, University of Maryland systems are all in the top five or so in terms of their lawsuits. And I think it's important to note that they're very aggressive in filing suits, but there are hospitals in Maryland that aren't filing any lawsuits. So these, you know, treatment facilities, these people caring for patients are making very different decisions about how to handle unpaid debt.
Well, talk to me about that. Are the hospitals not filing suits? Are all their patients paid up?
No, it doesn't seem to be the case. That would be nice, but they simply are not pursuing debt. And we're seeing that in other hospital systems in other parts of the country, where hospitals that had aggressively sued patients changed their tune after press coverage, after more awareness was raised, and decided not to pursue debt. A hospital in Tennessee decided to stop pursuing debt. Mary Washington Hospital, which is in Virginia, decided to stop pursuing patients for this debt. And in Maryland, where we have a system that the state helps provide coverage to hospitals and helps compensate hospitals for free and reduced cost care, we really believe that there are other options that hospitals can pursue rather than collecting all of this debt.
Well, wait a minute. The 145,000 medical debt lawsuits that you counted up between 2009 and 2018, it was almost $270 million that the hospital said was owed them. Can hospitals afford to let that go?
That is a great question. I think what's important is to put this into context. And when you look at that, what we see is that it's a very small percentage of the operating revenues. It's 0.18% of the hospital's operating revenues overall, and it's only 4.7% of their net income. So it sounds like a huge number, but you are also have to have a huge systems. And again, it's only 4.7% of their net income. So we do believe it's possible for them to forego that. The other thing is that we think if patients were given income-based repayment plans that actually reflected their income, we've seen this in other contexts, we don't believe that they would have to write off all the debt. We believe that there are people who would be willing to pay $20 a month, you know, maybe $10 a month, maybe $30. And they would do that to repay their debt. It would take longer to pay it off, but they would pay it over time. Because most of the people that we talk to are not trying to not pay their bills. They simply don't have the money. Other costs have risen and their wages have been fairly stagnant. And there's just a gap between what they get paid and what this cost is. And if they could do it comfortably and not be sued and not be pursued, we know from the people we've at least worked with that they would be willing to pay.
I think you mentioned earlier charity care.
Yes.
Which I guess is writing off the debt to charity. Could hospitals expand that? Could they afford to?
Well, actually in Maryland, it's interesting because all of our hospitals are operating as nonprofits. So they're required to provide low cost or free medical care. So what that means is that in Maryland, the state uses what's called an all-payer system, which means they will reimburse the hospitals for medical treatment. So Maryland as a state will reimburse the hospitals for the free and reduced cost care. It's called charity rate care support. So it seems to us one of the things we saw in this report was that some of the hospitals, even though all the hospitals are required to have this financial assistance and this reduced cost care, several hospitals were denying applications for people who applied for charity assistance. Overall, about 10% of applications were turned down by Maryland hospitals, but some hospitals turned down applications for assistance at a much higher rate. Johns Hopkins denied 40%. Of applications, University of Maryland denied 25% of the applications, and Mount Washington denied 24% of the applications. So that's when people were saying, I'd like to apply, I should be eligible for this charity care, and they were denied. So I think there's work to do to look at what's not working in the system, because Maryland has clearly made it a priority to make sure that people are cared for in some way, both through this charity care model where the hospitals are reimbursed, but also through these, through requiring financial assistance policies. But we found many people aren't aware that policies, these financial assistance policies exist. And then, as I just said, when people do apply, oftentimes they're denied.
Lots more to talk about on the record with Marceline White, Executive Director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. When we're back from a short break, how the coalition is taking medical debt into its own hands. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. There are millions of dollars of medical debt looming over Marylanders' heads. That debt triggers sweeping effects. It shapes decisions people make about whether they can afford medical treatment, whether they should finish college or drop out to find work, when or if they can retire. Listen to what Monique, a young social worker, told the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition about her experience.
My name is Monique, and I have about $4,000 in medical debt. Back in early November of last year, I was on the phone with a friend when the right side of my chest started hurting. I drove myself to urgent care where I was told that my right lung had collapsed and I needed to get to the ER ASAP. I drove myself to the nearest hospital instead of taking an ambulance because I knew how expensive they were and I didn't want to deal with that. I gave my insurance at the front desk of the ER and I hoped for the best. What started out as chest pain ended up in a 9-day stay in the hospital, complete with 2 chest tubes and a major surgery. That was one of the worst experiences of my life, and on top of this traumatic event is now the weight of debt. I am a newly graduated social worker and in the process of trying to start my life, and in the middle of a pandemic, this debt is a huge weight. It is influencing the decisions that I make and is a mental and logistical nightmare. My collapsed lung was the result of no fault of my own, but I feel like I'm being punished because of it. No one should have to be worried about paying back money for essential medical care.
I spoke with Marceline White, executive director of the nonprofit Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, about this issue in December. I asked what stood out to her about Monique's story.
What stands out about Monique's story is that it's the kind of story we hear frequently, but I'm glad she had the courage to tell it. I think one of the things that's clear is how worried she was from the get-go about what these costs were going to be. The fact that she drove herself to the hospital rather than take an ambulance because she was worried about the cost of an ambulance. The fact that she gave them her insurance and hoped for the best. The fact that she still had these costs after her insurance. It touches on many of the challenges we face with healthcare right now. Many people who have these medical bills have insurance. They may have high deductible insurance, or catastrophic insurance. We also know that healthcare cost and staying in a hospital is incredibly expensive. In Maryland, an average hospital stay costs $14,200 for 4 days. And in fact, hospital care makes up 37% of healthcare services in Maryland. I think the other thing is how it impedes and impairs her daily functioning at this point. Her health has been taken care of, but now this is weighing on her mind. And that's one of the things we see frequently is that you can discharge someone from the hospital, but if you leave them walking out with a hefty bill, that kind of stress may send them right back into the hospital doors. We see that all the time. That can affect blood pressure, that can affect heart rate, that can affect other kinds of issues, all because they have this debt hanging over their heads.
A few months ago, the coalition launched an initiative called the Medical Debt Freedom Fund. Tell us about it.
So we decided, after grappling with medical debt, what could we do, especially in the midst of a pandemic? And we wanted to have some direct action and some direct way to serve and address this issue. So the goal of the fund is to raise $15,000. Every bit of money raised goes directly to pay off someone's medical debt. We're hoping to be able to pay off about 15 people's debt. If we raise more money, obviously we would pay off more debts. We're still raising money. And what we're doing is we have an advisory committee. We're going to focus on the hospital systems that sue the most at first and try to get people to send us an application. And we will pay off the medical debts that we can. We're going to create a system so that it's transparent in terms of how we're making those decisions. And it's just based on kind of a random number generator. So we won't be picking people we know necessarily. We'll just be picking people who apply from different hospital systems and where we have enough money to pay off their debt. And we have a lawyer who's on our board who will work with us to call the hospitals or settle the debt, make sure that legally it's taken care of and that the people are not taxed on it, which is a weird outcome of some of these kinds of systems. So we're very excited, and our hope is that in the next few months, we'll be able to have at least 15 people who are freed from this overwhelming burden that Monique described.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Marceline White, head of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition, about the vast scope of medical debt in Maryland and a new effort to offer relief, the Medical Debt Freedom Fund. And more power to you, but what you're describing, 15,000, even if it goes beyond that, is orders of magnitude less than the millions of dollars a year we talked about hospitals suing for. So
yes.
this doesn't solve the overall problem.
No. And we, you know, that's one of the things MCRC does is the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition often tries to address direct needs today, but then pass legislation so that people tomorrow won't have those same needs to solve the systemic issue in front of us. So this is an effort to do something today in the midst of the pandemic. It's a drop in the bucket. So what we're also doing is we'll be introducing legislation to the Maryland General Assembly to address it in a systemic level, which would simply, among other things, require that hospitals create income-based repayment plans and that you just can't pursue debts under $1,000 for lawsuits. You can try to collect, but you can't sue on them.
So, yeah, the General Assembly is scheduled to come back into session in about a month in some form. And so is there one set of actions you want them to take? Because it seemed like in the last session, there were quite a few different proposals.
Yes. So last session, actually, on the last day, we were able to pass legislation to expand the number of families who would be eligible for this free and reduced cost care. So we were excited about that, especially given the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, what we're doing is trying to focus on this medical debt collections, these lawsuits. So the bill, as written, will simply say that you have to create some kind of income-based repayment plan with a patient before you can pursue a lawsuit. If you pursue a lawsuit, you cannot wipe out someone's bank account for a medical debt, nor can you put a lien on their home. And then the final piece of it will be to prohibit lawsuits for debts under $1,000. So we have sponsors on the House and Senate side. And we think, especially given COVID-19, this is timely, both the twin crises of the economic recession and job losses that we're seeing in Maryland, but also the fact that we're seeing a lot of people who have survived the COVID-19 virus, but have these long-term lingering health consequences. So we think there'll be more of a strain on people having chronic illnesses after having survived the disease. So there's even more need now to address these issues than even last year.
Marceline, thank you.
Thank you.
Marceline White is the executive director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. We spoke in December. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, you can find more information about the Medical Debt Freedom Fund and the report on medical debt lawsuits in Maryland. Today at noon, the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition and other supporters are holding a virtual press event. At 1:30, the House Health and Government Operations Committee will hold a hearing on House Bill 565, the Medical Debt Protection Act. Next week, the Senate Finance Committee will take testimony on its version of the bill. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've joined us on The Record. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!